In this last chapter of 1 Corinthians, after touching on some matters pertaining to traveling ministers, such as Paul and Timothy, the Apostle Paul gives the saints there at Corinth this exhortation to recognize a few of the members of that church in particular, to recognize some men whom he names here, men who were to be shown some appreciation for their devoted service to the Lord and to his church. And so the sermon title, Giving Recognition to Devoted Servants. Let's read now the living and holy word of God from 1 Corinthians 16, and we pick up here at verse 13. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these, and to every fellow worker and laborer. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have made up for your absence, for they have refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such men. The word of God from 1 Corinthians 16 this morning. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ and friends, in various youth sports anymore, they will often give a trophy to every single child who has participated. It really defeats the purpose of handing out trophies to begin with. Giving recognition to everyone basically makes the recognition meaningless, right? Trophies are for those teams who win. Or in the league, those teams that rank first, second, or third place, for example. Trophies are for those individual athletes who should be noted for remarkable achievement in some particular sport. Or maybe exemplary sportsmanship, what have you. Now, brothers and sisters, as you know, in various sports, at various levels of athletics, people are still giving special recognition to those athletes that excel in one regard or another. And this sort of thing happens not just in sports, right? It happens in the military. It happens in various institutions of education. It happens in our government. It happens in the arts and sciences. It happens in virtually every field of human activity, work or play. And you know what? It ought to happen in the Church of Christ as well. Our theme this morning, friends, the saints owe recognition to devoted Christian servants whom the Lord uses to build up his church. The saints owe recognition to devoted Christian servants whom the Lord uses to build up his church. Some of you might be wondering if this is perhaps some worldly sort of business that really doesn't belong among the people of God in the church. You know, there are people out there in the world who do some remarkable things in order to be noticed, right? And in order to be praised in human society. And of course, there are those other people who like to notice, and they like to give praise to man. Christians should reject all this proud, worldly behavior. Just be happy, humble servants of God. Do your duty. And the rest of us give no man or woman any special recognition, lest it goes to the head of that particular disciple. Well, I think it's probably appropriate to acknowledge that there is something right about that thinking. There are some dangers of worldliness and pride and, you know, the praise of human beings, dangers of jealousy and competition. There are some real dangers here. But brothers and sisters, the simple fact is that we owe recognition to devoted servants of Christ. And by that word, oh, I mean this is a matter of love and justice among the people of God. Remember in Romans 13, verse 8, Paul says, "Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." And then Paul goes on, of course, there in Romans 13 to list various commandments from God's law, commandments which flesh out what justice looks like, right? That's what God's law is. It's love of God and love of neighbor. This is the justice of God revealed in his commandments. It reveals to us what love is to look like among us, his people. Yes, when devoted Christian servants do good work that builds up the church, helps the ministry along, helps the kingdom to advance in the world, the rest of us owe loving recognition to those devoted servants of Christ. We may not owe them money, and we may not owe them a trophy, but we owe some sort of recognition, right? Maybe it's just a thank you. Some public acknowledgement of their good work and our appreciation for it. It's a matter of practicing justice in God's house. Listen, brothers and sisters, it's a serious matter of practicing love. We looked at verses 13 and 14 last time, so I'm not going to spend too much time on them this morning. But I want you to notice again there in verse 14, Paul calls the Corinthians to let all that you do be done in love. Paul's talking about being deliberate, making sure that you're actively engaging in loving fellowship with your brothers and sisters in the local congregation. Let all that you do be done in love. Yes, receiving traveling ministers like Paul and Timothy, that was one way of showing love. And also, dear saints, giving honor and recognition to devoted servants in the church like Stephanas, Fortunatus, Achaicus, some other men that Paul mentions here at the end of the letter. This also is an act, a very important act of love. It's also a matter of giving praise to the Lord himself. So if you're worried, this is too much about praise of man. Well, it can be such a thing, but listen, it really is supposed to be a matter of giving recognition ultimately to our God, who supplies the gifts with which devoted Christian servants labor in his church, right? You see, certain believers mightily bless the church through their devoted service because Christ Jesus has equipped them to do so. More than that, listen, more than just having once equipped them and then sending them off to do their Christian work in the church, Christ himself is working through their devoted service to bless and build up his church. Do you appreciate that, brothers and sisters? That through the labors, the imperfect, very flawed, feeble efforts of service and labor in the church, the Lord Jesus is at work. Now, Christ accomplished his great work of redemption alone, obeying all of God's law by himself. Let's be clear about that. Suffering and dying under the curse of the law, all alone, in order that by his bloody death on the cross, he may reconcile sinners to God. Christ alone did the work of saving sinners by his life, death, and resurrection. But you see, dear saints, he builds his church. He trains his people. He spreads his kingdom in the world by means of you, Christian people. They are agents through whom the Lord Jesus continues to bless his people, care for his flock. And therefore, we ought to give recognition to devoted servants in the church, not only because we owe it in love to them, but also because we owe it to our Savior and King Jesus for his praise and for the glory of our God. A minister in our classes is quickly approaching his retirement in the Chicago area. At our classes meeting last week, the brothers gave special recognition to Reverend Ted Gray of the First URC of Oak Lawn, Illinois, because that brother has faithfully served the churches of Christ for 34 years. But I assure you, while we pastors and elders publicly acknowledged his devoted service with much joy and gave him a round of applause and went up to him at the front of the sanctuary, and every one of us shook his hand and commended him and thanked him, and you might say in some ways praised him, highest praise was most definitely directed to our Heavenly Father, to Christ his Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Because it is our triune God who has been working through Pastor Gray, building his church through this man's work all these years. You know, the saints owe recognition to devoted Christian servants whom the Lord uses to bless and build up his church. And if the recognition is properly given, dear saints, it will redound to the praise of our God and Savior. Notice Paul's first exhortation here, that the Corinthians would recognize Stephanas and his household specifically by subjecting themselves to the leadership provided by these men. Verse 15, he says, "Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these, and to every fellow worker and laborer." First of all, friends, just a couple of points from our passage today. Rather straightforward points. But first of all, we should recognize certain devoted servants in the church by humbly subjecting ourselves to them and following their lead. Now, you may not see anything here that specifically identifies Stephanas or anyone else as a leader in the church, but it is implied. I think it's rather clearly implied here. Paul says that the household of Stephanas were among the first converts in Achaia. That's basically Greece, southern Greece. Now, that by itself wouldn't indicate that Stephanas and his household are leaders in the church, elders or deacons or whatever. But from an early time, these brothers in the household of Stephanas devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Listen, nothing presents a man as a potential church leader better than his devoted service to the local assembly and to those who belong to it. Because, of course, the church needs leaders who are servants. Servant leaders, right? Who demonstrate their love for God and their love for others by humbly serving them. Now, how exactly Stephanas and his family devoted themselves to the service of the saints from an early point, we don't really know. It was probably not leading right from the start. Maybe they opened their home to be a regular meeting place for the congregation. They didn't have church buildings back then, right? They're meeting in homes. Maybe that's the particular service, devoted service, that the household of Stephanas showed the church at Corinth. In any case, there are some devoted servants in this man's family, and in time, their service, you follow? Their service turned into servant leadership. And we don't have to wonder about that because Paul says explicitly in his exhortation, verse 16, be subject to such as these. In other words, recognize Stephanas and others in his house as leaders among you at Corinth and follow their lead. Whether or not they were ordained, again, I don't know. It doesn't say anything about that, at least not in the Word of God. I will offer this, though. There was a very important letter written in the year 95. First Clement says that the apostles appointed some of the first converts in Achaia, in Corinth specifically, to be bishops and deacons. Bishop would include elder, of course. It would seem then that Stephanas and maybe another man or two in his household, maybe a mature son, maybe a slave or a freedman in his household, became elders or deacons or whatever at Corinth. And as such, they were Paul's associates in the ministry. He calls them fellow workers. As I preached last week, friends, if it is a healthy congregation filled with healthy and helpful church members, we will all be engaged in the gospel ministry in one way or another, doing the work of the Lord together, each of us his or her own part. But that Christian ministry needs direction, it needs oversight, it needs leadership. When Christ the Lord blesses and builds up his church through devoted servant leaders, pastors, elders, and deacons, chief among them, the rest of the saints have a duty to recognize those leaders by humbly subjecting ourselves to them, following their lead. I'm just echoing the words of Hebrews 13 once again here. You don't have to turn to that passage, but in Hebrews 13, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account to God. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Now, obviously, if church leaders are unfaithful men, giving the saints unbiblical teaching and direction, you owe them nothing but loving correction. But insofar as local church leaders faithfully serve the Lord and represent him in their service, the rest of the saints owe them submission, subjection, honor, obedience. That's what Hebrews 13, verse 17 says. And that is all for the glory of God above all. But you know what, friends? It's also for the good of the whole church. That's the point in Hebrews 13, 17. Subject yourselves, submit to them, and obey them, so they may do their work unto your advantage. Because a submissive and supportive congregation encourages church leaders to keep up their devoted service. Pretty reasonable, right? You know, the congregation shows submission, proper submission to the Word of God, to biblical leadership, submits to it, follows the lead of the local men, ordained men. It's a very encouraging thing, and it's the fruit of the labor of those men, fruit that will strengthen them to go on working. Friends, this is the love we owe devoted servant leaders in the church, recognizing them for the work they do. We are to honor them, submit to them, obey their biblical leadership, follow that lead as we seek to follow Christ who leads us through them. Of course, it's not like ordained leaders in the church are the only devoted servants who should be recognized. There are others in the local congregation, others whom we should recognize for their devoted service. And I want you to look at here in closing at verses 17 and 18. Paul says, I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas. He's mentioned again, but then a couple of others. And whether these men were from his household or not, we don't know. But Fortunatus and Achaicus. Why? Why has Paul rejoiced over the coming of these men? Well, he says, because they have made up for your absence. For they refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such men. So my second point, friends, and I conclude with this. We should recognize certain devoted servants in the church by happily showing them appreciation for their labors. Stephanas mentioned again. Paul mentions a couple more men, as I mentioned there, as we read a moment ago. Fortunatus, Achaicus. Can't say if those other two men belonged to the household of Stephanas, if this was maybe a son or a former slave or maybe currently a slave. We don't know if they were leaders or not. We really don't know much about them. They're never mentioned again. But what Paul says about them is that this group of men were from the Corinthian congregation, or congregations, probably more house churches in the city of Corinth. These men came from Corinth, bringing the letter of the Corinthians to Paul in Ephesus. And then they are likely the men who would bring Paul's letter, this letter that we're reading, back to the Corinthians. There's some question as to whether Timothy had that job or these three men, but most commentators would agree that it's these three, that they're going to carry Paul's letter back to Corinth in time. They didn't simply run into Paul, you know, while touring the Mediterranean. You know, they make a cruise stop in Ephesus and, oh, there's Paul. Wow, what do you know? No. These brothers engaged in some very difficult and very likely dangerous work, traveling through the Mediterranean region, a long distance. They did this precisely for the purpose of visiting Paul in Ephesus, encouraging the apostle in his ministry, informing him of developments back at Corinth, and then eventually returning to Corinth with more instruction and encouragement from the apostle Paul that would help the Corinthian church to grow unto the glory of God. Look, this was remarkable service done by Stephanus Fortunatus Achaicus, devoted servants whose labors the Lord had used to bless and build up this church, to bless and build up the Apostle Paul himself. He says, I've not had the opportunity lately to enjoy fellowship with all of you Corinthians, but Stephanus, Fortunatus, Achaicus, they have made up for your absence by coming to me, and they've refreshed me. Paul says, their labors are a refreshment to my spirit, and I know they're a refreshment also to yours. Give them recognition. What form did Paul want that recognition to take? We have no idea. Maybe he simply wanted the congregation to make some public acknowledgement of this extraordinary service, to express thanks to these men when they got back home to Corinth, express some appreciation for their great labors. The point is, when we are helped and when we are refreshed by servants in the local assembly, we owe them special recognition. It's the proper loving response that we ought to have to their labors of love, which the Lord uses to build up his church. Christian people are not typically engaged in international travel anymore for the purposes of passing letters back and forth between leaders in the church and their converts or their church plants, what have you. But there are all kinds of servants in the local congregation who help and refresh us in different ways. Isn't it a blessing to have our children watched and loved by those who provide nursery care in the congregation? We can take it for granted, but friends, it's a great blessing. Boy, does it refresh you parents who get to focus maybe a little bit more on the worship of God. Be refreshed in that way. We should give them recognition, thank them, commend them for their devotion to the Lord and to his church. Isn't it a blessing to have musicians who help us such a great deal, week by week by week, year after year, that we may offer joyous praise to our God each Lord's Day? I'm afraid we too often take it for granted. You know, we're just singing along, we show up and do that thing. They're preparing hours to help us make joyful music to the Lord. We should give those musicians recognition, for their labor of love does indeed refresh our souls in the worship of God. Isn't it a blessing to have elders and deacons who labor long in the ministry to help us all to grow as disciples of Christ, as children of God? Of course, we owe elders and deacons recognition. And that involves submission. It involves following their lead, cooperating with their efforts to direct the congregation. Isn't it a blessing, friends, to have various people in the church who are engaged regularly in teaching? Not just at this pulpit. I mean people who are in all of our Sunday school classes as well. The Lord refreshes our souls with his living and mighty word of grace through all of that biblical teaching. And therefore we owe teachers in the church recognition. A simple thank you once in a while is appropriate. But you know what is perhaps the most important recognition for the encouragement of those teachers unto the glory of our God and Savior? You want to know what the most important recognition is? To show up and to speak up as a participant in the ministry of the Word. Because all teaching in the church is executed in the most wonderful and beautiful way, right? Of course not. Come on, I mean, lighten up. Is it all beautiful, excellent, wonderful rhetoric and teaching? And it's no, it's not always so wonderful. It's not always what floats your boat, right? Your cup of tea. But attend, brothers and sisters, attend and participate because you want to give loving recognition to those who labor long in the Word of God to refresh your souls. And such recognition is bound to refresh those who teach, so that they'll be encouraged to continue in the labor, even to improve their service. Brothers and sisters, we all ought to be committed to some labor in the church. It's a ministry we share. We ought to be committed to some work, some service for the good of the body. But this is a way in which all of us should practice love among one another, recognizing those devoted servants who refresh our souls through their labors of love, and in this recognition to rejoice in the Lord our God, who loves us and cares for us, his church, through the feeble and very imperfect efforts of his servants in the local assembly. You know, giving recognition like this is serious business indeed. It really is serious, friends. I think these words in verses 13 and 14 apply very much to what I'm talking about this morning from the verses that follow. Look at those in closing, verses 13 and 14. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Again, friends, we will be a healthy congregation, a loving congregation of Jesus Christ, only by standing firm in the faith. Paul does not just mean, you know, making sure that we remain an Orthodox church, important as that is, but that we must remain firmly rooted in the grace of the gospel. For that's where we are assured by our God himself that he has redeemed us believers out of all of our damnable sin and pride by the work of the devoted servant par excellence, our Lord Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, Philippians 2, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. What service for the salvation of us poor sinners. And then listen to how God the Father recognized him. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What recognition the Father has given to his Son, that supreme servant, Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, if you look to that Savior in faith today, if you give him that recognition he deserves, your worship, you will experience the greatest refreshment of your souls. His obedience unto death secures for every believer forgiveness of all of our sins unto eternal life. This is refreshment that our risen Lord Jesus keeps giving us. He gives it once again to us, dear saints. Refreshing grace that renews us for more loving labor that he will use to build up his church. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.